If you're trying to attain better health, a new set of directions may be the key. Welcome to The Natural Path, featuring Dr. Michelle Brannick, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. And now, from the Brannick Clinic in Riverside, Illinois, here are your hosts, Lynn Webb and Dr. Michelle Brannick.
Thank you for joining us on The Natural Path. I'm your host, Lynn Webb, and I'm here with Dr. Michelle Brannick from the Brannick Clinic of Natural Medicine in Riverside, Illinois. Welcome, Dr. Brannick.
Thank you, Lynn.
Today, we are going to talk about something that you don't think about all that much until it happens to you, and that is osteoporosis. It's a chronic disease that affects over 28 million Americans, and 80% of those affected are women, and everyone's heard of the case of their elderly aunt breaking a hip or a wrist or an ankle, and you kind of chalk that off to, oh, that's, you know, everyone gets brittle bones as they age. But we're here to talk about the fact that osteoporosis is not only something that you should expect, it's something that you can actively eradicate or work to counteract. And first of all, I'd like to ask Dr. Brannick to define exactly what osteoporosis is.
Well, osteoporosis to me is a metabolic dysfunction that results in loss of bone or bone density. I feel it's not just a calcium problem, but an entire problem with the whole mineral balance and nutritional balance in our body. There are 12 different minerals and vitamins that are needed to maintain strong bones. So if there is a deficiency in any one of those, it contributes to osteoporosis. And in my practice, I see a lot of women who come to me who have severe osteoporosis who tell me, I can't believe I have osteoporosis because I've been taking high-dose calcium for the past 30 years. And the first thing I say, well, that's why you have osteoporosis, is you can't just take one mineral in a really high amount and expect there to be balance in the body, because all the minerals and vitamins and nutritional cofactors work together. So it's about a balance in the body.
So just loading up on calcium once you're in your late 40s or as you go through menopause, that's not enough to get everything sort of working and properly feeding nutrients into the bones.
No, you need a comprehensive approach, because boron, strontium, calcium, magnesium, zinc, even some estrogen all plays a role in bone density.
Well, let's talk a minute about bones. You think they're kind of this inert matter of, I don't know, like a piece of wood or something. They don't have really any kind of life substance to them. What actually are bones?
Bones are actually living, growing, changing constantly. They're not dead and they're not just sticks. They're remolding. And it has to do with the kind of stress that we put on our bones and how they remold. So our bodies are actually made for locomotion, and movement actually puts stress on the bones, and that keeps the bones strong. When we just sit around in our couch potatoes, our bones weaken because we're not putting the stress on the bones.
So stress in this case is a good kind of stress.
Absolutely. It's needed. We're designed for it. We're designed for locomotion. We're designed to have enormous amount of stress on the bones to keep them strong.
So when they say, you know, increase weight-bearing exercise as you get older, that's actually a prescription for healthy bones.
It sure is.
So talk a little bit about how osteoporosis does its damage.
The pathophysiology is that we have nutritional minerals and vitamins and cofactors running through our blood. And the body maintains a very narrow range of what is acceptable in our blood system. So when a mineral gets low in the bloodstream, it alerts the body that there is a problem. And the organs then become deficient. And the organs cannot run efficiently if they are not getting nutrition. And so what happens is we are designed for survival, and it's more important for the body to have a pumping heart and a working kidney and a working liver than to have strong bones.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Right.
So it sort of, the organs say, well, gimme, gimme, and they sort of deprive the bones.
The body pulls the nutrition out of the bones to support the other organs. You have to think about, why is the blood system deficient in minerals? Why is there not enough enough strontium and boron in the blood? Why is there not enough magnesium and calcium in the blood or zinc? And the reason you have to keep going backwards is probably poor nutrition. Either someone's not taking it in, or secondly, they have poor digestion and they're on antacids preventing the absorption of minerals, or they have GI inflammation, which is preventing the absorption of minerals. So again, you have to keep going back into figuring out why these things are going on in the body. And that's how you fix osteoporosis. You fix the underlying cause. You don't just throw calcium at somebody and hope that that sticks to the bone.
because it's just, you're going to just have a bunch of Swiss cheese in there. And then, of course, then as the organs are sort of leaching these vital nutrients from the bones and the bones are becoming more porous, then obviously the weakened areas of the bones are prone to fractures.
Yes, and hip fractures are very common in elderly who have osteoporosis.
And a lot of people will sort of poo-poo the idea of a hip fracture. Oh, it's just a hip fracture. But think of the cases that you've heard, even in your own lives. You hear of someone having a hip fracture and suddenly they're in the hospital, an infection sets in. It's a very stressful, large area, and it creates great strain for the body, and it can actually lead to fatality.
It can, especially in the elderly, those who get hip fractures and who can't recover from them because of, you know, either whatever, poor nutrition or whatever it may be, end up in a nursing home and they end up not living more than usually 2 years.
And you can imagine, obviously, the quality of life is really bad at that point, and there's pain issues and, you know, a lot of dignity issues. I mean, your mobility has been taken from you by virtue of the fact that your bones have become frail. And that's something that had you kind of a few years before really started addressing via, you know, a more holistic approach.
And another problem is that once you do have osteoporosis, it's more common in women, obviously. Women become very afraid to go out in the world and do things. They're afraid of falling. They're afraid of moving because they might crack something or break something. So it becomes a life that they're walking in like eggshells.
And they almost become housebound because of it.
Absolutely. And it's, to me, it's a very poor quality of life. And they are in pain, a lot of them. And they start being deformed. Their spine starts to curve. And it's not a high quality life.
Let's say, you know, maybe you're in your midlife and kind of assessing your physical health, as many people in midlife do. Are there any precursor symptoms to an actual severe issue, or is it truly the silent disease?
It usually is more silent until a fracture happens, and that's when it's typically found out. However, some people will present with some bone pain, aches and pains, but it's usually the fracture that is the telltale sign. But, you know, a lot of women today go for a DEXA scan, and it can be picked up on a X-ray, and they can tell if you're...
And that's a bone density scan.
Yes, a bone density scan. It tells you...
Absolutely painless, easy. Everyone should have one.
Mm-hmm, correct. And so that will tell you if you're leaning towards having weaker bones. And there is a condition called osteopenia, which is not necessarily a precursor to osteoporosis. As we age, our bones do get lighter, and that is a normal aging thing. But osteoporosis is an extreme form of osteopenia. Osteopenia just means less dense bones, but it does not subject you to more fractures. It's only when you get to the point of osteoporosis.
Just statistically speaking, the group that is most susceptible to this are small-framed Caucasian women, for whatever reason. I guess because their bones are already not large or dense to begin with, so they're already slightly more at risk from the get-go. So if you fall in that category, that would be something to definitely take a look at. So you kind of think at one point, well, maybe I should start taking a little bit better care of my bones so that I can, you know, get around in my old age. But it's really not just taking care of your bones. If someone came to you and they were going through menopause or just postmenopausal, what would you do?
I would do the whole approach again, and I'm going to especially be looking at digestion to see that they are able to absorb the needed minerals and making sure that their diet is leaning towards a rich nutrient diet.
By looking at blood work, which you do with every patient you see, Are there flags on the blood work that you look for?
Absolutely. If you look for nutritional deficiencies and you see a pattern of low calcium, low magnesium, low zinc, and then you see some other deficiencies like anemia, iron deficiency anemia, B12 anemia, all these point to a problem that this person is not absorbing nutrients, and you can probably assume they're leaning towards osteoporosis at that point.
So you're not going to just have low calcium and necessarily say you have osteoporosis.
No.
It's sort of an interaction of all these factors.
Yes. If I see a pattern of a lot of deficiencies, I'm going to be concerned that they could develop osteoporosis in the future if they continue on this path. I mean, it takes years to really develop osteoporosis because our bones are very dense and full of nutrients when we're younger, and it takes years of chronic pulling nutrients out to become weak. So it's not something that happens overnight.
Now, from a nutritional perspective, what types of things would you advocate? Or is it, there's no hard and fast rule here?
The types of foods I would recommend would be like the dark green leafy vegetables because they have a lot of trace minerals in there. The seaweeds like kombu, dulse, nori, all those have trace minerals. You can put those seaweeds in soups. You can cook with them. Just really good source of minerals. And that is typically what we're deficient in today. Another thing that I think is really important is omega-3s. I highly recommend cod liver oil because it does prevent osteoporosis. It has the vitamin D and the omega-3s in there that also support bones.
Very good. Yeah. When you prescribe a regimen of calcium, you do that in tandem with magnesium, correct?
Well, I actually do it in tandem with all the minerals and more of a comprehensive approach to their whole health. I have never in my practice just given straight calcium. I don't think that is the answer.
Typically, in a high-quality calcium supplement, you see magnesium.
Yes.
Because it helps facilitate the
absorption.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. It also has to be in the right form. Like some supplements you'll see out there are in the form of calcium carbonate, and that is not easily absorbed. And so I prefer to get calcium in the citrate form.
Citrate. Calcium mm-hmm. citrate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Calcium carbonate is kind of the junk calcium out there. It's the kind that you'll see in...
attached to your antacids.
Your antacids, yes. You might as well just be, you know, I don't know, have a chocolate bar. You probably do better.
Right. Another really important thing today is that people don't go outside very much. And we need to be outside more because the sun actually activates vitamin D. And vitamin D is very important in bone density. It needs to be converted both in the liver and the kidney. And by the time it's converted, it actually is 10 times stronger than it is without being activated. So the sun is what activates our vitamin D and promotes the conversion in our liver and kidneys. So I actually recommend people sitting out in the sun for 20 minutes a day.
Well, it's funny you should say that because recently I encountered a woman maybe late 60s, early 70s, and it was obvious that she had been a very adamant sun worshiper all of her life. She had a lot of sun damage. I mean, she was literally just, even at age 70, out there frying herself for hours on end. And I said, well, maybe you should think about using some sunscreen. And she turned to me and with, you know, just great authority, well, vitamin D is good for my bones.
And she's so, right.
So everything in moderation, folks, okay?
Yes.
So sunshine with a little sunscreen, and that's going to go a long way.
Replacing things are useless until you stop the loss. So to me, we need to talk about mineral loss, and that has to do with people are consuming a lot of products that increase the loss of minerals. And that is the enormous amount of carbonated beverages that we're drinking, coffee, tea, dairy products actually promote the loss of minerals, smoking, high sugar diets all promote the loss of minerals. We need to stop the loss, which is like filling the hole in the bucket before you can start to replace it, because it's just useless to start to replace it.
Now
before.
This loss, mm-hmm. So we're just excreting minerals through the urine? Or?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
It's through the urine.
We're not utilizing it, it's just leaving our bodies and not being metabolized.
Right. What happens is, especially in the carbonated beverages, the phosphorus binds to, especially to calcium, and actually pulls it out of the body with it.
Wow.
So yeah, that's probably one of the biggest sources of loss is these carbonated beverages. Now kids have been raised pretty much on soda today, and now for the first time in history, we're seeing osteoporosis in young women like 15, 16, and 17 years old, and it's because of the enormous amount of carbonated beverages these younger people are drinking. And
that's shocking. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously you think it's an older woman's disease, and here you're seeing it in teenagers because of the fast food lifestyle and
high sugar diets, no fiber, again, back to the basics.
So we're starving our bones, literally.
We are.
So we need to feed the bones. Mm-hmm. And if you're approaching it from a natural perspective, it's a holistic approach that always, always begins with an overall assessment, blood work, looking at nutritional and lifestyle factors, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then coming up with a regimen specific to that person's situation.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of pharmaceutical drugs that can accelerate bone loss, and this comes from the chemotherapy agents. Antacids, again, decrease the absorption of minerals and nutrients. Prednisone, corticosteroids, even tetracycline for acne decreases bone density.
Wow.
So really, people need to really think long and hard when they're on these drugs for long periods of time.
Yeah, I just had a friend tell me last week that she had gone to one of these sort of glamour dermatologists, and he put her on a long-term course of tetracycline, and she was well into her 30s, and she thought, God, I've been on this antibiotic, this tetracycline, for a couple of years. Probably not a real good idea. Once again, if you absolutely don't have to take it, do not take it. Pharmaceuticals.
Absolutely.
This is a sort of a blanket statement, but we're making it. It's funny because every day on the TV, you see all kinds of commercials for all these miracle drugs that cure osteoporosis and all of these conditions. And many times it's being created by the other pharmaceutical prescriptions in that company's stable. So it's very interesting.
Yes. In fact, a lot of those drugs that are targeted to osteoporosis, of course, don't fix the problem because they're not fixing the underlying cause. But what they do is they cause other problems later, like they'll show up in a couple years. You know, some of them, what they do is they don't replace deficiencies. What they do is they just tell the body not to take the nutrition from the bones. And so what that results in is still you're deficient and your blood is running more and more deficient, and the organs are becoming affected. And so what happens is a couple years later, you have an enlarged heart, you have a liver that's not up to par, and eventually, you know, we can't run on with no nutrition, so eventually we become weak and die. So it's not good just to stop the body from taking the minerals out of the bones. It's really working with the underlying cause.
And I think that just bears repeating here on the Natural Path. I think the one thing that we would hope that you take away more than anything is the belief that you've got to get to the underlying cause of whatever symptoms are manifesting. There is a root cause that if you don't address it, you can camouflage the symptoms. You can sort of shift the symptoms around and they'll come out in other ways.
Exactly.
If you don't get to the root, you're wasting your time.
You sure are.
And so at the Brannick Clinic of Natural Medicine, it's all about the root cause. And let's recap what the root cause of osteoporosis is.
The typical cause of osteoporosis is mineral and nutritional deficiencies and an imbalance within the body to keep a strong bone matrix.
And that can be triggered by many things, including poor diet, poor digestion.
A weak digestive system that does not allow the breakdown and absorption of nutrients, or it could be even intestinal inflammation, which prevents the absorption of nutrients.
So the watchwords are inflammation, nutrition, digestion, and those are all can be related to osteoporosis, which isn't just weak bones or dry, brittle bones. It can potentially be life-altering and even, unfortunately, life-ending if you don't address it.
And very painful in the later stages. Very painful.
So that's a real good reason to talk to your naturopathic physician or give a call to Dr. Michelle Brannick at the Brannick Clinic of Natural Medicine. Any final words on osteoporosis, Dr. Brannick?
I believe that the bones can be rebuilt. And I do believe if you treat the underlying cause, your bones can stay strong through your entire life.
We need our bones to support us. And thank you very much for listening. I hope that answered some of your questions on osteoporosis. Until next time, it's Lynn Webb and Dr. Michelle Brannick. Take care and always take the natural path.
Visit us online at www.bcnaturalmedicine.com or call us at 708-447-2468. To submit your questions and comments to Dr. Brannick for use on future episodes of The Natural Path, send us an email at questions@thenaturalpathpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.